Psalm 20, and we'll read this psalm together and make a note from one of the verses here. Psalm 20, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word. For Jesus' sake. This evening I want us to think particularly on the statement that's made there in verse 5. That in the name of the Lord, or the name of our God, we will set up our banners. I want us to think this evening on the subject setting up banners. May the Lord be pleased to bless us as we consider this. Let's just ask him to meet with us in the word. Lord, now we pray that thou wilt let the word of God be that which is used by thy Spirit to draw us to thyself, to teach us, and to lead us on. With thyself we pray. Lord, do a work in our heart. Minister to us as we consider these things from thy word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If Psalm 20 had a setting, or perhaps we might better say a context, it would be a blessing. A blessing on the part of the psalmist for those who would seek the face of God. The main part of the blessing, though, is the calling upon the folks addressed to consider the answering of God to their prayers. And so we see right from the start, there is a blessing that is pronounced that these who are looking to the Lord might know the Lord answering their prayer, particularly in the time of trouble. That is noted in verse 1. But also in verse 1, there's another reason why there would be the need to have prayers answered, and that is that they might find defense when they are under attack. Attack from without, attack from within. If you progress to verse number 2, you would see that part of the desire for answered prayer would be when help is needed to be holy. Help thee out of the sanctuary. There's an element there of looking to the Lord for the help for the personal affairs of heart. That which is obtained by the forgiveness of sins, by the application of the blood. You might also look at verse 2 and conclude that there is a petition or a blessing that's bestowed to these people, that when they call to the Lord for help or strength, that the Lord would give that to them. They are without support, and so may the Lord be that supporter. A fifth reason that we see listed for a desire for prayers to be answered is that there might be a remembrance of the loving service and obedience to the commands of God. You read that in verse 3. May the Lord remember what you have done for his name's sake, that you keep his commandments, that you dutifully do those things that he says. Also, if you look at verse 4, we would read there that the Lord would grant according to thine own heart. In other words, there's burdens on the heart. There's issues of the heart. There's needs that need to be addressed. May the Lord meet all those. And then you see the psalmist also praying for a blessing at the end of verse 4, that there would be a fulfilling of the counsel. In other words, that they would verify the words that have been spoken by these people, words perhaps that have to do with the Lord and the Lord's work and the Lord's wisdom or the Lord's way. May the Lord verify that. May he make that to be something that is seen and established. But then in verse 5, there is a request here and indeed a reference to the rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. May that be their lot. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up banners. Indeed, here is the desire to see such a change of heart, that there is rejoicing instead of those sorrows and burdens. A change that allows the people of God to set up banners, as it were. Well, the thought that immediately should come into our mind would be this: what banners? What's he talking about? What's this reference to? What is this saying? That there would be such a change in all the ways in which we're seeing God work for us, such a change in our lives that we are able to establish, as it were, banners in the name of the Lord. Well, that's what I want us to consider. I want us to think about those banners. I have a few suggestions to you as to what that might refer to or apply to, or certainly that which we can hold up to the Lord and ask for the answer of prayers for. My proposition to you is simply this, that answered prayer, the hearing and help of God, allows a boldness in the believer to identify not with himself, but with his God. I am able to establish, as it were, an identification with God. I set up banners in his name. I'm going to tell you what my God has done. I'm going to testify of his work for me. I'm going to tell you why I'm rejoicing. I'm going to establish with you whose side I'm on. We set up banners in the name of the Lord. Well, what do banners show? I was interested to see various opinions of what the banners refer to. Some say, well, these are military banners. Banners that actually identify, as it were, sort of, what regiment that you may be in, although don't think they had regiment in the Old Testament times, but some way in which it identified what side they're on and what group they are among. There are others that said, well, no, these banners had to do with the markings of the four divisions of the children of Israel. They went forth in troops, as it were, when they broke camp. Three of the tribes would progress, then another three, and then the final three. And each one had a banner that they followed as they progressed out. I don't know which one of those you'd want to take or if there's something other. But I do say that the keynote for the word banner is the word identification. This is an identification with something that has to do with our God and how he works for us and how he's worked in us. So I'm going to suggest to you a couple of banners. In fact, I've got five. Five banners, because it has to be more than one, because it says there, in thy name, or in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. So, if you will, I suggest number one, that we have the banner of trust. the banner of trust. When we are able to discern within our hearts the moving and helpings of our God, when we can contemplate again on how the Lord is fulfilling His covenant promises to us in answering prayer and doing those things even that we look not for, that then is something that we can consider and say within ourselves, therefore, as I contemplate on these things, I will trust the Lord my God. And we set it up as a testimony of our faith in our God. In other words, setting up a banner is nothing more than a statement, whether it is a figurative or a literal sense of setting up of a banner. It is a statement that I am wholly following the way of my God. I will not follow other ways. I will not go after other gods. I will not lean to any other understanding but the wisdom of God. I will not contemplate obeying the laws of some other groups of people, but I will only follow the Lord my God. I will not go after another. I set up my banner. I belong to Him. I trust in Him. And I think also there's a statement in that that we are saying that as we consider the Lord's answers to prayer, that those answers fan trust and void any other temptation to depart from the Lord. I'm here to say God answers prayer. And because of that, I am determined to trust, and I am determined also to depart from any other. Perhaps the words of that banner, He has helped me, and I go to no other. Or as we see in verse 5, I name the name of my God. In the name of my God, I identify myself as one who trusts. So that would be my first banner, the banner of trust. Then I see a second banner, and that is a banner of testimony. When you read verse 8, at the end of that verse, is, we are risen and stand upright. The enemy is fallen. The enemy are brought down. Those that deny God are those that are perishing. But for those that are God's own people, we are risen and we stand upright. And I would say that here's not only a ready declaration of trust, as we noted just a moment ago, but here is a declaration of loyalty. I am loyal to Christ. I am on the Lord's side. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is more than just trust. Here is a banner of determination. Now, I will mention this, that so far, as we have been talking, neither of these two banners that I have just mentioned are banners that we are able to set up by ourselves. We can set up nothing by ourselves. We cannot set up our banners because of that which we have within us. Unless God is gracious, unless He comes and He does works of great mercy and of great grace to us, we have nothing that we will see ever established. But because He is, then we are those that can set up our banners. The only thing that we have over our heads are the sentence of death without what the Lord does by His grace and by His mercy. But because of the Lord's mercies, those that are new every morning, we are able to stand. As we read here, we are risen and stand upright. I think of the words there in Ephesians chapter 6, after Paul says to the Ephesians that they are to wear the whole armor of God. And then he concludes it by saying, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. There's an element of determination. You will not fall down. You will not be affrighted. You will not run away. You will bear the testimony of your God. amid any storm or opposition, whether it is from within or from without, there's a testimony. I am determined to follow Jesus. A banner of trust, a banner of testimony. Third, I would point out this. Banner number three is the banner of triumph. Again, verse 8. But we are risen. Oh, now there's a wondrous thought there. We are risen. The enemy is fallen, but we are risen. You know, that sort of sounds like resurrection in my mind. The ultimate victory. Every enemy has fallen before the power of Christ Jesus. The putting away of sin, the defeat of death, the removal of the sins of God's people, the declaration of everlasting life because Christ lives forevermore. We can now point, because of the work of our God, because of the answering of his prayers to cleanse us from our sins, we are able to point now to sin's absence. Not sin's presence, but its absence. Let me show you something that's conspicuous. I don't have sin on me anymore. There's no condemnation to me now anymore. I am justified with God, and I am justified by God. There's been a triumph. I can erect a banner of triumph because God has answered prayer, not just in the things that I need to have him answer for on a daily basis, but more ultimately, he has answered prayer and that he has saved me when I called upon him. There's another banner that I see, banner number four. And this is suggested by the words in verse 1 again. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. This is the banner of the tried. The tried. Here's a statement that there has been a burden. But in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, God has answered. I've been tried, but I've been helped. I have been tested, but I've been upheld. I have a banner, I have a testimony, I have a declaration, I have an identification as one who has been helped of God. And no matter what those trials may be, though they be fiery trials, as Peter says, the Lord upholds those that are his. The Lord undertakes for those that are his. The banner is a display then to demonstrate the intent to trust in all the days that are ahead, no matter what I'm having to face, no matter what the trials are, I fly this banner. I intend to trust the Lord in the days of trial. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I thought of another banner. This banner was suggested by the reading that we even contemplated this morning from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. That there's a banner over us. There's a banner of a testament of the love of Christ. I will fly the banner, Jesus loves me. This I know. He loves me. His answer to prayer is a showing of the Savior's delight in his bride. His banner over me is love. His banner is love. My banner is a testament to that love. And we will display a testament. You know, I think in some ways, every banner that we have mentioned here is something that we will say, you know, there comes a day when we will display those banners and they will never be taken down. All these things that we have said will be testimonies of our hearts as we would look upon the Lamb of God and we will rejoice And we will praise him, for he has redeemed us from our sins out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And now all those things that we have known as burdens or days of trouble, or all the different things that we would have heard the psalmist praying that the Lord will bless us by the answering of prayer, we will say they all have been true and known and experienced. Setting up banners. I would say that this is a good habit for us. A very good habit. Not just for ourselves, because these things perhaps would serve as a reminder to us as we face different things that come along our path from day to day, but also as a reminder and a testimony to those that would watch or look. I need to have the Lord answer prayer. You need to have the Lord answer prayer. But when the Lord does answer prayer, are we careful to set up our banners? Are we careful to declare, not to ourselves just, and not even to those that are around us, but to the Lord himself, to declare, I am identifying with the God that has answered and helped and saved. Excuse me. Well, may the Lord add his own blessing to the word to our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake.